Now it's time for real fashion. On Pop Off with Harry Jane Pop.
And I'm telling you, you better believe it. You can interchange passion and pop off with those two words. They fit together on a regular basis. Nice to have you with us on Pop Off on the Wednesday edition. And have we got stuff to talk about today. If you're joining us for the first time, Pop Off is a fast-paced magazine show for your life. We want you to feel better, live longer, maybe even a little bit happier. And we move very, very fast with multiple topics to give you highlights for life-changing ways. This is what we're all about. Now, I got to talk to you about a couple of things this morning because it got my attention and it kind of got my dander up to boot. I was reading the newspaper this morning, and I go online and read various newspapers just to see what's going to get me, you know, what's going to grab my attention. Well, the stem cell research issue has really grabbed my attention. We've had stem cell research people on the air before, and now the drama is reaching the epitome. It's in the Senate. It passed the bill. The stem cell research bill passed 63-37 in the Senate, the U.S. Senate. President Bush, of course, vows to veto it. I wonder if he would have had any major catastrophic illness in his family and research that might help if he might change his mind, but be it as it may. Then I turned to the business section. This is where it got me. Who's going to get the financial benefits from it? That was the big headline. Well, excuse me. It always seems like the bottom line in this country, in our country, the most wonderful country in the whole world, it's always the bottom line, dollars and cents. While the world takes off and heads up research on both embryonic and umbilical cord stem cell research, we sit squabbling while people suffer and die. Now, as I said, we've had research doctors on. I'm going to have more research doctors on so you can understand that there are two different kinds, the umbilical cord research, stem cell research, and the embryonic stem cell research, two different kinds, all looking towards the same thing, and that's trying to find some cures for things like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Imagine a lot of the same rhetoric must have gone on when we started with organ transplants. I'm sure people said, oh, you can't do that. Ethically, it's not right. You're taking a heart from someplace. Doesn't matter that they're dead. You're taking a heart from someplace, and you're putting it in somebody else's heart. Well, yesterday, if you remember, we had Mitchell Fink on. Now, he is the author of The Last Days of Dead Celebrities. And he says he's now doing research on organ recipients that get traits from their donors. And the research that's being done is proving all this. To me, that means we're all in this together, whether you like it or not. Oh, by the way, Mitchell sent me a wonderful, wonderful blurb that's going to go in my book, Marilyn, Joe, and Me. June DiMaggio tells it like it was. This has been like a seven-year odyssey for me in life through the eyes of June DiMaggio. She's the niece of Joe DiMaggio, and she knew multiple stars. But, of course, the majority of the book is about Marilyn Monroe, Joe DiMaggio. She knew Marilyn for like 11 years. Of course, Joe being her uncle, that's family. And I'm always on the lookout for the people who are the insiders, the people who know the truth, from health to life and death of Marilyn Monroe to those who celebrate life. That's what we try to do on Pop Off. And some future topics that we're going to have, I love this one. Do you remember, this was last year sometime, a woman actually got on the Internet. She got herself into like a $20,000 debt. She went on the Internet and begged for money. She said, look, you know, I'm going to be dying here on this other side. And she got enough money to pay off her debts. However, she is now a very rich woman. Now, it had nothing to do with the money only that was sent in to her on the Internet, because that was exposed and the news was just incredible. But she actually is going to have a movie coming out. She's got a book. I mean, this is the woman. This is the one who did it. She's going to be on the show. We're also, if you're a shy person, we're going to help you with shyness. If you have cholesterol, we're going to help you with that. And coming down the line in a couple of weeks, Diane Ladd. Does that sound familiar to you? She was a multiple Emmys nominee. She won a Golden Globe Award for And Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Remember that movie? She's going to be with us. And she is. She has a book I'll call The School of Life. It's going to be interesting to find out what she's talking about when she talks about that. But let's get on with the show today. Coming up today, financial truths. Humble, wise, wealthy living, but in a different slant. It's not only looking at what to invest in and all this kind of thing. It's how to live a completely different life. And if you've got home problems, well, we've got some super tips for super savings for you. I'm telling you, the last topic actually will be the first topic, but are you ready for this? Can your bra, I'm talking about your brassiere, ladies, can your bra cause cancer? This one's going to grab you, and I'm telling you, after you hear this, you are never, ever going to look at a Frederick's catalog again with underwire bustiers. Hang in there. It's pop-off, and you better believe that we do. Doesn't make any difference what part of the country you're in, East Coast, West Coast, Southern country. It doesn't make any difference. All the women are alike. We want to look the best that we possibly can, correct? Well, how would you like to increase your bust size? I'm serious. No surgery, no pills, no creams, simply by using a special type of bra. Now, don't just scoff at me. Hold on. Just hang in there with me. It's called the It's All You bra, and Victoria Morton is the innovator. Now, we've spoken with Victoria before about body wraps and fat and carb stoppers, but this one is going to blow you away. Hi, Victoria. How you doing?
Hey, Mary Jane. I'm doing fine.
Well, you know what? Before we even talk about the bra that you established, one of the reasons that you did this has to do with this thing called cancer. Now, are you serious? A bra can cause cancer?
Well, when women come to learn our Suddenly Slender body wrap system, they are fit into a complimentary bra. And at that point, Mary Jane, so many of them confess that some years ago they had breast cancer, they had a mastectomy, and what I found over the years is every single one of them wore underwire bras.
No.
Yes, and their cancer is formed exactly along the line of the underwire and where the metal stay is on the side. This is not made public. And bras are designed with underwires because they're so badly engineered that there's no support without them, but it's not necessary for a correctly designed bra.
I'll tell you, if you go to any department store and even a lingerie shop that specializes in bras, mm-hmm. you will be hard put to find a bra without an underwire.
You have to go to the great big grandma bras to find one that is all cotton and, you know, no garbage in it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, I don't understand how a bra can increase a breast size, so that doesn't make any sense.
Well, first you have to understand why women get smaller and begin to sag as they do over time.
Mm-hmm.
A girl who has a, you know, a D cup at 16 may be a B minus at 30 or 40 after a couple of kids.
Is that called gravity?
Well, if it were gravity, all our bust line would be in the front, in the midriff, you know, the middle, like the guys get, the big
right.
tummies,
uh-huh.
because the chest slides down. But a store bra, well, let me put it this way, Mary Jane. A woman's breast goes all the way to the corner of her arm, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but look at any store bra. It stops a few inches short of the underarm and literally trains out a lump of breast tissue in the corner of the arm that looks like a lump of fat. We think we're gaining weight. We don't understand. We're losing bust line.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm just sitting here. Now, I'm not a real big person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm maybe about 116, 115 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got my bra on, and I swear, I just pinched some of that stuff in the back that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, it's right in the corner of the arm in front, but the store bras have a strong elastic backward pull. So bust tissue is trained to the back of the bra, hanging over the bra on top, and then gravity pulls it under the bra. And you can see it on many, many women. They look fine walking toward you, walking away from you. It looks like their bra is way too tight because they've got bust tissue hanging over the top and hanging over the bottom.
Yeah, and my bra is not, I don't have it on tight. I really don't.
No. It's the mechanics of the way they're designed. Guys designed them, and probably if they had to wear them, they'd be a lot more comfortable.
So it's basically tissue that is pushing back instead of forward where it can give us more cleavage.
It's been trained back. And so most any woman can reach around under her bra and back, and if she can pinch an inch, she's got one full cup size in the wrong place.
Ouch.
If she can pinch 2-3 inches, she's got several cup sizes. And so I designed a bra that would put everything back where it belonged. Because, as you know, I have suddenly slender the body wrap, and if it's on the ribs, we're going to wrap it off. We don't want to do that.
Right.
So we'll put a woman, say she's A cup or a B cup, we'll put her in a bra with cups so big, Mary Jane, it looks like she's got room to rent out, okay?
Okay.
She'll look down and say, yeah, right.
That's going to feel funny.
Well, it looks so strange. But then we unhook the cups, which drop down like the cups of a nursing bra.
Okay.
And this bra is lined with a special fabric that will hold, keep in what you pull in. If you look inside your regular bras, there's nothing there to hold you in. It's just a cover. So, anyway, we drop the cups down. When we're fitting them, we'll slide our hand through the side of the bra and pull that bulge of tissue from under the bra up and forward, the tissue up over the bra and back up and forward into the cup, and then we'll go around and pull everything from under the bra, from the ribs, because some of it gets down there too. We'll pull it all into the cup. The waistline usually goes down inch and a half, 2 inches. Then we'll hook up the cups, which they completely fill, and it blows them away. It just absolutely blows them away.
Well, you're benefiting not only the bra size, but also the waistline, everything.
Well, you see, they get fleshy in the back, they get fleshy under the bra on the sides and the front, and it's just a matronly look. You know, the really young girls have the nice slim midriffs.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen much after 30 or 40 because the bust line's sliding down and tissue's down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the wrong place, and circulation is being restricted. Lymphatic drainage is being virtually stopped. See, what a lot of people don't realize, Mary Jane, is your lymphatic system, which is kind of your garbage disposal for the whole body, has no muscles.
Oh.
It runs right along the circulatory system, and that helps carry the waste out of the body.
Hmm.
If something is restricting it, like your bra cutting into the side of your breast, you know, in the front, that is restricting lymphatic drainage. And that's probably, that and metal stays in bras, probably has a lot to do with the virtual epidemic of breast cancer. It's like one out of every 2.5 women will get it. Now, that's spooky.
You bet it is.
Yeah, it's frightening. And it's very traumatizing to lose a part of your body. But at any rate, when we pull them into the bra and get everything where it belongs, bust tissue pinks up immediately because the circulation improves. Nothing is restricting lymphatic drainage. Nothing is cutting off circulation. And they look wonderful. Now, this isn't one of those bras, Mary Jane, where they look great with it on, and when you take it off, oops, what happened?
Yeah, really.
Because as you wear it during the day, and it's a comfortable bra, as you wear it during the day, more and more tissue stays in place. And the whole point of these bras is to make you look so wonderful that you look good with the bra off, and you can wear something low-cut for a special occasion, you know, and with authority, and look great.
Fantastic.
But another major point is posture. When all the weight of your breast is supported from the straps on your shoulders, that pulls you forward.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice a lot of the big-breasted girls almost develop a widow's hump.
Oh, yeah. And then and big-breasted also, the notches in the shoulders, it's terrible.
They get the grooves, and some women take the bras off at night and cry, and that's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Well, my mom was like that. I mean, seriously, I mean, sometimes I wish I had her breasts, and then other times I know what misery she went through because she used to have grooves in her shoulders. She was like a 42 double E, something
mm-hmm.
like that. It looked great when she was young, but boy, I'll tell you, in her latter years, those breasts were down to her knees. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I see it happen all the time. The worst case scenario I ever worked with was an employee brought her mom in, who'd been a hippie in whenever hippies were in,
yep.
and had never worn a bra, and she literally hung to the waist, and it was, you could tell under her clothes, it was very unattractive, and it took 2 years to get her a normal bust line, but she had a normal bust line.
Wow.
You know, and just wearing this bra. Now, the posture thing is very important, because these bras are designed like a suspension bridge. You know, bridges are not supported by straps or sky hooks. The support is from the base,
mm-hmm.
as are these bras. So when you put them on, you stand straighter. You don't have your bust line pulling you forward. And even some rather slim girls have this posture thing. But the standing straight strengthens the whole body.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Sure.
Even if you're a little older and the muscles have kind of maybe broken down a little bit, can they be built back up again?
Well, the muscle only bulks. It doesn't lift. the muscle does not lift you.
Oh, okay.
And there's also a ligament they call Cooper's, and when you have a stretched breast, they call it Cooper's droop. Well, that's fine, but it's the tissue and the skin. See, when you get everything up where it belongs, the skin contracts and tightens, as does the flesh, and you get a nice, firm, solid bust, not, you know, what people are fighting with right now.
Right. So you have to stay in that bra, though, that in order to keep that going.
Well, you should wear it for your normal daily bra. You can wear something skimpy for a special occasion, but this should be your regular bra.
Oh, okay.
And it's also, Mary Jane, a wonderful sports bra, because a big girl can jog and exercise and not bounce.
There you go.
You know, you ever see a big girl bouncing past a group of construction
workers? Oh, yeah, and they're extremely embarrassed.
Oh, yeah. You know, they go wild.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the girl blushes, and a lot of women come back from jogging with their arms crossed over their breasts, because it hurts.
Mm.
So there's a lot of reasons to maintain, you know, to look for something that's safer. And I'm not saying our bra prevents cancer. That would be, you know, arrogant and foolish. I'm just saying that if you improve the circulation, if you improve the posture, if you improve lymphatic drainage, the odds are definitely going to be in your favor.
Well, you know, and that's all we can do. It's just like, you know, taking some responsibility. And you see all these bras, and, you know, everyone is underwired, and now they've got these, well, now they're flexible. How can you have a flexible wire? The wires are not flexible. They hurt. They do, and they're very uncomfortable after a while.
Well, I want to give a little message to some women out there. Sometimes, and I used to wear the regular bras, and I was, you know, and sometimes you take your bra off, you have this really strange feeling under the breast, you know,
mm-hmm.
really strange. Get out of those underwires, ladies, you know, please. Your body's trying to tell you something.
Well, it's circulation. It's not normal.
No.
That's the whole thing. You're not allowing the body to be normal. And again, as I've said on anything, we present these topics. It's up to you to take responsibility for changing your life and making it better.
Yeah, nobody else is going to do it.
They
mm-hmm. don't. They don't know. They're not educated in the subject.
The manufacturers are out there to sell their bras, and they make them as fancy as possible to really be enticing. You know what I mean?
Well, you have to balance it. Do I wear something that looks absolutely gorgeous if someone rips my clothes off in the office, or would, as that's not likely to happen? Do I wear something that makes me look fabulous in my clothes and makes my bust line look great so when I don't have them on, I look the way I want to look?
Sure, you can put a negligee on any time when that time comes.
Exactly.
I understand what you're talking about. It just, it makes perfect sense if you're looking at the anatomy of a woman's body. And I think that's where they're not doing that. They don't care about a woman's body. All they care about is, you know, making you look really big in the front, and the rest of the body, they just, the heck with it, you know?
Well, I think if you're going to be wearing something the rest of your life, it should be something that is benefiting you rather than just, you know, being a cover-up. And you know, most of the bras out there, Mary Jane, are so poorly made.
Oh, yeah.
I know that most women, I used to do this, poke through a drawer, a whole drawer full of bras, to find the least worst, less stretched-out bra.
Yeah,
because they don't last very long.
You put them through the wash once or twice, and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They really just are, you know, they're flimsy, and it's just incredible. Now, the thing is, though, to get this kind of bra, you have to be fitted properly by someone, don't you?
Yes. There are, oh, my goodness, we've got 14 cup sizes and a lot of midriff sizes, and usually that's the first time a woman has ever been fit in the correct size bra. And this isn't just for girls who want to be bigger, Mary Jane. Some women are so big, like your mom, that it's just they're afflicted. You
yes.
know, it's
yes.
a horrible thing. And we have a technique for fitting a woman into these bras and then using the Suddenly Slender body wrap over it to reduce the bust line and tighten it up. And it's also for girls who are the right size but just go on a tad south and they don't want to sag.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we wrap with a Suddenly Slender wrap, we'll wrap lightly over to tighten skin in that position.
Yeah, because, I mean, we want to stay away from surgery as much as possible.
Yeah, it's, I've seen some of the videos. I won't watch them again.
Absolutely. And the creams, too, they say, oh, the creams are for those who want to boost the bust. Well, you know, what am I putting on there? Is that going to stimulate something that shouldn't be stimulated?
Well, I was on a radio show, Mary Jane, and the host asked for people to call in who tried some of the creams.
Mm-hmm.
And one woman called in, and she was mad as a wet hen. She had been using the creams, and they said, well, okay, what's the problem? And she said, I'm lactating.
Oh, no kidding.
She was like 50 years old, and every so often she'd just drench her clothes, as one does when one is nursing.
How embarrassing.
She was not happy.
Well, how do they get information about the It's All You Bra?
Well, they should go to the Suddenly Slender website. It's suddenlyslender.com, and find the location of closest Suddenly Slender, the body wrap. You'll find them by zip codes.
Okay.
Call, make an appointment, go in, and they will fit you into the correct size bra.
And please, again, they need to know you've got to be fitted properly so that they know where you're going. Do you want it reduced? Do you want it increased? And it has to be in stages, correct?
Yeah, well, let them know, because it's amazing. We've had a lot of girls who are slightly over an A cup, and we'll fit them into a C cup.
Ooh.
And they'll fit that, and after a couple of months more, you know, their cup runneth over. They'll go back in and get it D or double D or whatever they need.
But it runneth over in a natural way.
Yes, it's just training their own tissue where it belongs. It's nothing odd or strange or unusual. And, you know, the amazing thing on a slim girl, say she has a little hip and thigh problem.
Yeah.
You kick the bust line up a couple of cup sizes, and she looks amazingly better. She's in proportion.
Yeah, it balances you off.
Right. And if they want to do something about the hips and thighs, they just get a Suddenly Slender wrap. It's no big deal.
So go to suddenlyslender.com. Is there a number they can call to?
Yes, they can call 800-221-6793. And ask for, give them your zip code, and ask for the closest Suddenly Slender licensee.
Fantastic. As always, Victoria, you're there for the woman and to make things better. And next time around, we'll talk maybe about getting rid of some of that fat or stopping those carbs from going to the hips and where they shouldn't go. And we're going to have you come back again.
Oh, well, I'd love to come back. I always love your show, Mary Jane.
Thank you. It's a pleasure having you on with us, Victoria. Take care.
You have a good day.
Again, that's Victoria Morton, and the name, the website, just go to suddenlyslender.com. Very simple, suddenlyslender.com, or you can call 800-221-6793. Victoria is actually located in Florida, and then she has salons, like, all over the country. I mean, just about every place. You're going to find something. They'll be able to send you to the right place, but you do want to be fitted properly. It's just like anything. If you're not fitted properly, it's not going to make a major difference for you. So, again, it's suddenlyslender.com. I'll make sure I put that up on my website, too, popoff.com. That's P-O-P-P-O-F-F, two P's and two F's, popoff.com. I'll always make sure I put all this information on, especially at the end of the week, in case you don't have time to write it down or you're doing something else. Maybe you're at work and you're listening to the show, but you've got other things to do. So, again, it's suddenlyslender.com, 800-221-6793. It's always all you. On pop-off, that's what it's about. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about financial matters. And when we talk about financial matters from a different perspective, instead of talking about investments and how to make money that way, how about knowing how to be humble, wise, and have a wealthy living at the same time? Let's find out about that right here on pop-off. And that is going to be coming up very, very shortly, so don't you dare go away. I don't want you to miss out on anything. I work all night, I work all day, save a bit of a happy day. Amy is dead. This thing called money, the root of all evil. Well, you know what? It doesn't always have to be the root of all evil. it can be the root of humble wealth and being very wise about it. It just depends on how you handle it. But I'm serious. As far as this country, this is one of those things that is kind of crazy. We have become dysfunctional. Dysfunctional when it comes to money. Now, Carla Cargo says, you have no idea how bad it's become. Personal savings rate in the United States is the lowest in 73 years. That's not good. Credit card debt is at an all-time high. Are you going to be ready for this? Every household, per household, $9,312. That's the average for every household. 90% of Americans claim to be worried about retirement. And we've got baby boomers that are coming by the droves, and we don't know what to do. A lot of them have never prepared for retirement, or they're trying to do it now, and it's kind of a last-minute thing. So how do we change our mindset? Now, Carla Cargo has written a book, and she tackles the issue in her book called The Financial Truth to Humble, Wise, and Wealthy Living. Carla, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Great to be here. Thank you so much, Mary Jane.
Well, you know what? I gave them some stats about how dysfunctional we are, how much we owe, how come we don't raise any, we don't save any money in this country anymore. I just think it's a lack of discipline. They just don't care anymore, you know?
Exactly. It's a lack of discipline, and some people just have that I want to have everything right now mentality.
Oh, boy. You know, I'm glad you said that, because I've talked to, like, kids that are coming out of high school. You know, they're driving up to their eighth grade graduation in a limo with a $500 dress. In high school, what are they going to do? Come up with a world cruise or something? And then when they get out of college, what's left? Nothing.
They're going to be dropped off in a helicopter in high school.
Exactly. It's like we don't have anything to look forward to, but we all want it, like you said, now. Everything material has to be right this minute.
Exactly. No one seems to believe that a part of hard work is maintaining some type of reward. Set your pace. You have to pace yourself. If you get everything right now, then you don't, like you said, you don't have anything to look forward to.
Oh, God forbid. You said the word, the magic word, and it's an evil word for a lot of people. Work. Hard work.
Hard work is what it takes to actually build wealth. And one of the things that I'm constantly teaching people is that it's important for us to realize that wealth does not come overnight. You know, there's so many get-rich-quick schemes that are out there. So people have been giving the perception that if you do something in 7 days, you can become rich. And if it doesn't happen, then they think, oh, well, I'll just forget about it and then continue in my destructive spending habits. But anything that is of value takes time.
So, well, and you know what? How do you measure wealth anyway?
Well, you know, wealth is encompassed by several things. Of course, we already know that wealth is encompassed by the quote-unquote financial success that you have had, and it also encompasses your relationship that you have with your family. Are you charitable within your community? Those types of things also encompass wealth. It's important for us to understand that wealth is really being in a state where you are able to enjoy life without living in the form of bad debt.
But, you know, I keep going back to this because I think it's important. There's nothing wrong with having money. I'm not saying that a person
mm-hmm.
should be poor.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be able to put food on the table, and you want to mm-hmm. have something in retirement and all this. But, you know, we've lost track of what life is really all about.
Right,
yes,
right.
But, you know, wealthy in family, wealthy in community,
that's
wealthy
right.
in giving back something. It doesn't have to be money. It could be
mm-hmm.
you.
It could be time. It could be your gifts of talents. You know, everybody has something that we are capable of doing that will empower and help other people. But we have allowed ourselves to be dictated to by what we see, quote-unquote, on television and so forth to give us the impression that we have to have a certain type of car,
right.
wear a certain designer, etc. And we have allowed ourselves to be sucked in to believe that that's what wealth represents, and that's not true.
And the next generation is even worse.
Oh, gosh, yes.
You know, at least I was still closer. My parents were Depression children.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I still had that mentality that was given to me.
Mm-hmm.
But my kids and their kids gone. It's too far away.
Oh, yeah. And you know, right now the United States has the lowest savings rate in the industrialized world.
And oh, you're kidding.
Oh, yes. And these are statistics from the U.S. Department of Commerce.
amazing.
Right, now, minus 1%.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, you address a thing called money personality.
Uh-huh.
And what does that tell us about our wealth potential?
Well, actually, what you have is you have certain people that have the mindset to build wealth because they have specific habits. There are some people that still save, of course. And those type of people that have the mentality to save their money, they allow themselves to take mine, they invest, they own real estate. They, again, of course, the other aspects of it, the family, the community, that mentality, for example, is someone that we would consider balanced. They have a financial plan in place. They understand that it takes time. A person like that is going to build wealth. On the other hand, you have someone who is, you know, kind of a shopaholic.
Mm.
As soon as they get money, they spend it. They're really not an accumulator of money. They're really more a consumer of money. So someone who has that type of mentality is really not going to be able to successfully build wealth because they don't allow themselves to obtain wealth. They basically, what they're doing is they're receiving money and spending money.
Well, the country, our country is not based on saving. Our country is based on credit and spending. I mean,
oh, gosh,
you've got
yes.
credit card companies parking on college campuses and giving credit cards to kids so they can buy pizzas, for gosh sakes.
Oh, yes. And really what happens is, you know, I kind of joke about it, but I tell everybody that they need to quit their second jobs with Visa and MasterCard and all these extra credit cards. You know, you might earn $40,000 a year, and then you have $10,000 in credit available through your credit cards, and we believe that we're supposed to use all of that $10,000 as a second income, and
well,
that's
and
not
problem,
what credit cards are for.
And you know what, Carla? It part of it is that you look at this little piece of plastic, and
mm-hmm.
it doesn't look like real money that you're really spending. But you are, and they're going to come and get you.
Well, you know, also, Mary Jane, what I think is that not only do they look at it not as real money, but to a certain extent, we have again, fallen into that perception that that plastic card gives us a level of power.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
So we have that extra power in that plastic.
Oh, yeah, and then they boost you up to the gold card.
Oh, yeah.
And then the platinum card.
And the
card.
Platinum. And
I
then is there a titanium card, maybe?
Yeah, and I keep getting the titanium one's going to be the next one.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I get these. I still get them in the mail, two or three a week. We want to
mm-hmm.
give you another credit card. I keep tearing them up. I don't want any more credit cards. Enough's enough, right?
Enough is enough. And that's what we talk about in the financial truth. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so where do we begin? Give me some steps, one, two, and three, to go to so that we can become wealthy, but financially wealthy, but in a positive way, not a negative way.
Well, basically, really what the title of the book, The Financial Truth to Humble, Wise, and Wealthy Living, really there are three steps that title represents. One, you have to humble yourself. And in this respect, I'm talking about God. So you allow yourself to recognize that you do not have the capabilities to build wealth by yourself, that God created wealth. And so once we understand that and humble ourselves to that, then we can become wise in managing our money, wise in understanding what to do with our money, wise in understanding how we build wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next step is that we actually will have wealth because we have followed the process. We have a plan, we have implemented the plan, and we have allowed ourselves time, patience, and consistency for that plan to work.
You know, I like this. I go back to President Kennedy
mm-hmm.
When he said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And
mm-hmm.
that's exactly it. Go back to that. And when you say God, you're not looking at religion or anything. You're looking at a spirituality. It's something within a person.
Mm-hmm.
If you can be spiritual and
mm-hmm.
share
mm-hmm.
and give to others, it comes back to you. But
oh,
don't
absolutely.
Be looking for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's like the old saying, what goes around comes around.
What goes around comes around. And that once people realize that, you know, if we really look out and, you know, those persons that we have, you know, classified as people that are quote-unquote wealthy, the way that they have obtained their financial wealth is by helping other people. They've invented something that has helped a lot of people. They provide a service that has helped a lot of people. So once we realize that wealth is really not about us, that specific person, then more people will be able to become wealthy.
I'm glad you said that. Now, I'll tell you the other reason why. What are you going to do, take it with you? And sometimes I believe, because I've had this happen, you know, I've had different projects where I've had to raise money for projects, and it's charity, some have been financial, whatever it happens to be. It is harder to shake loose somebody who has a lot of money than it is a person who doesn't have a lot of money.
Right, right.
And I guess that's how they built their wealth. I don't know.
Well, you know, what I say to that, Mary Jane, is that a person like that, in my opinion, in the way I define wealth, is not wealthy. They're rich. They have a lot of money, but they're not wealthy. Because
ooh,
in order
like
to
that.
Be wealthy, you have to understand that your money is to help other people.
Well, you know, I know in the 80s, we went through that whole thing that greed is good.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 90s, we said, hey, it's a transition time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really honestly thought that after we hit the millennium and got into the 21st century, that we would make, you know, kind of take the high road.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure we've taken that high road yet.
Well, the thing is that some people are getting to the high road because, you know, just like myself, there are quite a few people out there that are speaking this mindset. And I believe that once everybody makes that transition, then we will be where we need to be. But, you know, any type of transition takes time, and it's a painful process because
yeah.
we have to release ourselves from a lot of the bad habits that we have.
And I guess it takes one step at a time.
One day at a time. That's
yeah.
right.
You know, I guess I'm one of those kinds of people because I do radio, and it's like immediate. I want it to happen now. I don't want to wait another 5 years for something to happen. I want it to happen now. That's the other mentality we have in this country.
Oh, yeah, we want it right now. And see, really, the majority of millionaires in the United States, people that live next door to us, we don't see them in the media. They're not considered celebrities or
yeah.
entertainers or professional athletes. I mean, everyday, quote-unquote, millionaires, they have acquired their wealth, their money, through allowing themselves time to build their wealth, consistency in building their wealth, and being patient as the wealth is being built.
I love that attitude. That's a good, solid attitude, and a solid attitude in values. I mean, we've lost that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we look at money and wealth and say, to heck with values.
Right.
And, you know, what is life worth it? You're around here, what, 70, 80, 90 years?
Mm-hmm.
To do what?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we need to reevaluate that and to pass that on to our kids and our kids' kids.
You know, what good is money if having it help makes you lose your soul?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You betcha. Now, do you have a website, by the way?
Yes, I do. It's www.thefinancialtruth.com.
Oh,
thefinancialtruth.com.
Do you have some good tips on there?
Yes, we sure do. You
excellent.
Can get our books there, and we also have an 800 number you can call to order our books.
And that is?
1-800-710-1269.
1-800-710-1269.
Yes, ma'am.
And again, the website is thefinancialtruth.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have a final statement to make to people to tell them why it's important to have not only being rich, but to be wealthy, which is two different things, what would that final statement be now?
That final statement would be that in order for you to have true peace of mind that encompasses all the things that we strive for in life, then wealth will allow you to do that. But you cannot do that if you do not allow yourself to save money, take care of family, community, and, of course, yourself.
And reevaluate what your life is all about.
That's right. Reevaluate the values are in life because money is just a tool. It has no personality. It can't talk. It can't walk. It's a tool that we've been given to help and better our lives, and we must learn how to use that to our advantage.
Instead of letting it use us.
That's right.
You betcha. Good stuff, Carla. Keep
Thank
up the
you.
Good work.
Thank you so much.
We're going to keep that. We're going to keep pushing for that high road one way or the other.
Yes, ma'am. You all have a great day.
You too, Carla.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. That's Carla Cargle, C-A-R-G-L-E, the name of the book, The Financial Truth, but it's different. The humble, wise, and wealthy living. I love that combination that she says. Wealth and being rich, two different things, being wealthy and being rich. Being rich is just having the bucks. Being wealthy is having a full life and being able to share with others. And that is where it's all at. I mean, that's what life should be. That's where we should all be headed. Again, that website, TheFinancialTruth, TheFinancialTruth.com, or 800-710-1269. 1269 if you want more information. You know, money and life on Pop-Off, not necessarily the same thing, but you know what? They work hand in hand. They work parallel so that you can get to your ultimate goal. Now, if you have some homey problems, in other words, if you have a house, you have homey problems, whether you like it or not. And that means, are you going to have problems with the drainage pipes or shutters and with the heat that we've been having nationwide? By the way, folks, if you're in a heat wave, and it seems like the whole country is in the throes of a heat wave, be very, very careful. Drink lots of liquid. Stay inside all you possibly can. If you don't have air conditioning, put the fans on. Because we lose too many lives, especially the elderly. Look after a neighbor. If you have a neighbor that is having some problems or is elderly, you know, kind of look after them a little bit, because the elderly and the children and the elderly and animals, they're all much more susceptible to this kind of weather than we are. We're a little bit stronger. We're a little tougher. We can handle this stuff. But we're going to talk about some of your home problems and maybe solve some of those problems with, you know, money-saving tips, because it ain't cheap. If you've got a house, you put a major investment in that house. Now, how do you keep it going? Well, maybe we've got some tips for you. We've got our Knowing Your Home Guide coming up on Pop Off, and I just know he always has good tips for us. Knowing your home is very, very important, because when you make a major investment, now I don't know where you happen to be living. You could be living back east, or you can live, out in the West Coast. If you live in the West Coast, oh, my God, you invest into a house, and it's huge. But if you want to keep your home in good shape, and we all do, I mean, this is all part of it when you own a home, and yet not spend an arm and a leg, well, it's all about knowing your home. And the man to give you the insider information is Roger Santos, our Knowing Your Home Guy. Hello, Roger.
Hi there, Mary Jane. How are you?
Well, you know, I am so fine, and it's just, I love having you on, because it's true. I mean, we put a major investment in our home, and if you don't keep it up, it's going to lose the investment that you put into it, and on top of that, it's going to fall apart around your ears.
It is, and you've got to treat it like it's part of the family. You can't not give it the insurance it needs to keep it up so that it will take care of you as much as you take care of it. And
now, you've got some tips for us. A lot of us want to do some home remodeling, kind of update the house, especially if we've been in it for a while like we have in ours. Do you have any home remodeling tips for us?
You bet. There are things to consider when remodeling the house. We all have our own vision of what we think is great and beautiful and all the rest. But you have to stop and consider, what is your end game? Are you looking to fix something up for long-term personal use, or are you looking to fix something up and make it look nice, what we call curb appeal or first time? That kind of determines where you want to place your emphasis and what you want to do to the house or the yard itself. You don't want to over embellish in your own personal taste if you're planning on turning this over and reselling it.
Yeah, because you're kind of subject to what the other homes in your neighborhood are going for, right?
Well, exactly. And there are some do's and don'ts with regards to reselling that are just real apparent. And there's a lot of great shows on now that kind of illustrate that, where they videotape the people walking through the house who have all these criticisms of your particular taste. Well, I would never do that. And then when you neutralize everything, it's like, wow, this is great. I can do something with this.
And I like the idea that you said you need to make a decision whether it's going to be a big job or a small job, because that determines whether you can do it or you need to bring in a contractor.
Exactly. That is the next step. If it's going to be something where you're going to be ripping out cabinets and you're going to be redoing some plumbing or electrical or anything, you really want to get the experts in there, because there are codes that vary state to state, county to county, city to city. And you really need to make sure that somebody's aware of what those codes are and that you're within the context of those. Because, again, if you go to resell, these are things that are going to be looked at by the inspector, and they're going to say, see all these things you have to change.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to make those mistakes. But if you're
because I remember a couple of years back we decided to remodel our kitchen.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's no way I would have tackled that on my own. It's impossible. It's hard.
Yeah, and remodel means different things to different people. Maybe we're talking about, replacing a sink. That's doable by an individual, or maybe tearing the old wallpaper down and painting, or maybe even putting in a floor. These are all things that are really neat projects that you can do on your own if you've got a little bit of skill with some tools and some patience. These are things you can do on your own and save yourself quite a bit of money, and it will look very nice.
But when you're looking for a contractor, and we did this for a couple of reasons. I'd heard some real nightmare stories with contractors, Roger, where they took, a week to 2 weeks to put something in. And I said, our kind of lifestyle, I can't be waiting around for a week to have something done. And we actually found a contractor, and I know you have to shop around. This contractor brought in five guys, and in one day they had the whole kitchen torn out and the whole new kitchen put in, and the next day was the countertops. It was incredible.
It is, and it's all a matter, there's a couple of factors that go into it. You find yourself a contractor who's really good at project managing. That's pivotal. You really need to find that. Then secondly, you make this part of the project. You make it very clear to the contractor, I need to have this done in this amount of time, so you need to provide enough bodies to do it. This is probably going to cost you a little bit more for the specific time frame, because contractors are doing multiple jobs at the same time in order to keep their own financial flow going. It's something they simply have to do, and you have to know that that's the case. If you've got a time constraint and you need it done by a certain time, typically they can do it. They need to bring in more bodies. They need to be better scheduled, order the things up front before they get started, all these things. But be part of the process. Don't just leave it in the hands of the contractor. Be engaged. Do project plans with them, understand the schedule, and then follow it along.
Yes.
Don't just close your eyes and hope for the best.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Now, we're in the middle of the summer, and I mean, like, the whole country is caught up in this heat wave. And today, on the West Coast, we've got a really muggy weather, which is, we're not used to it anymore. During the summer months, should we be thinking already about winter things we should get ready for?
You absolutely should, because a lot of what we do to protect the house and that is applicable winter and summer. These are dual project things. For example, the windows, insulation, siding, these are all elements that are going to work in both directions, keep the cool in during the hot summer and keep the warm in during the cold winter. Things that you can do and really should be looking at even now would be old windows. 60% of our home heating and air conditioning losses is through old single-pane aluminum frame windows. They're so easy to replace. They can be done with dual-pane, all vinyl, easily installed, Milgard, Anderson. They've all got fantastic products that can easily be installed by the average homeowner.
Now, I need to ask you this because I think it's important. Because, being healthy and making sure that people feel good in their home is very important to me. Am I going to make myself a sick house if I close it off so much that it doesn't breathe anymore?
it's really pretty close to impossible to seal off a house that well. Because of the way we live, we typically will be opening windows when the temperatures become mild and that, and the airflow comes through. So a door opening, windows opening, this does refresh the house. One of the things I tell people, if you're really concerned about too much control, an energy saver and a great way to reduce the amount of air conditioning requirements and that is all house fans. Here's a way to bring in the outside air, circulate it through the house, keep the house fresh inside as well as out, through just drawing that air through all the windows and screens throughout the house in the evening.
Now,
so
you're not talking about ceiling fans.
What's that?
You're not talking about ceiling fans.
Not ceiling fans. Ceiling fans are great for just moving the air that exists. But in order to actually draw the air and circulate and completely transfer the air from outside to inside and to blow out a lot of the air that's trapped in that attic that's been building up in heat, an all-house fan fits up into the ceiling, draws on the air in through the open doors and windows of the house, and then blows it into the attic, forcing it out all the vents that are in the attic. This completely circulates all the air throughout the entire house. Fabulous way to cut down on your overall cooling costs.
Yeah, but it's not sucking in the hot air from outside, is it?
Well, if it doesn't cool down at night, yes, it is, but it is at least transferring the heat. If you're looking to just keep things cool during the week-long or week-and-a-half-long 100-plus weather, keeping a house sealed up with your tight windows and doors and just using your air conditioner is not a problem. You can easily go up to a month or so without actually fully recirculating the air in the house and not existing any problems. That's all dependent on how well you treat your ducting in the house.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be looked at probably, if you're diligent, maybe once a year, once every other year, to make sure that the ducting isn't building up any fungus or molds, there aren't any breaks in the line, which is one of the biggest problems. People don't realize that at the register, which is the vent where it comes into the house, the air, the heat, those registers have, the way they're designed, they can break or be in a position to have gaps. And if they do, you're basically blowing that cooler hot air under the house, and you're taking any potential molds or funguses or dirts or whatever and kicking it around and blowing it into the system.
You're telling him, gee, come and stay with us, right?
What's that?
You're telling that mold, hey, here's a nice, comfortable environment for you to stay with us.
Absolutely. You are growing the best incubation home in the world. Mm-hmm. They love that because it gives them three things they need. They need food, which is the wood. They need moisture, and they need air. And you're giving them all the above. So, yeah, they love it. And they will just simply sit there and rot very quietly away at your entire floor, wall, whatever.
Wow.
So you really want to make sure. And here's something that just recently came out. In fact, this year, by law, if you're having a new air conditioning system put in, heating system put in, the installer now is no longer an option. They have to go through and check all your ducting and everything else. And if there's any problems with it, they have to seal it completely. The other thing that is still in an option capacity is to wrap or insulate all that ducting. And I strongly recommend that they do that and make sure that nothing is hanging down, touching the ground. There's a required 6-inch gap between ground and any ducting, whether it's under the house or even if it's outside, and that's a whole other story if it's outside. But if it's under the house and that, it needs 6 inches of clearance minimum from the ground. And if you have that, your system is going to treat you very well.
I would also think that now would be the time to take a look at the downspouts and the gutters, the rain gutters, because once the rains come, look out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've seen this on TV. You may have heard about it on the radio and that. There are products that make that job hugely better. I remember as a child, my grandparents, great aunts, our house, I was the one who had to go on the roof and clean out all those gutters.
Of course, Roger. That's why you're the knowing your home guy.
There we go. It started at an early age. They have today, you may have heard the gutter guards. There are a variety of different types.
Yeah.
I would strongly recommend going in and getting those gutter guards for, here's several reasons. If your gutters do tend to build up, you live in an area where birds are prone to pack in your gutters with a whole lot of dirt and seeds,
mm-hmm.
and back them up, and there's a lot of people I know that do. They put on those little screen guards, which have little ventilated holes and the water runs into them. The birds love those because they stick the seed in there thinking that they're going to be saving their seed and then can never get it back out.
Maybe.
So you're now taking your gutter. The gutter guards that I'm referring to are solid. The water rolls, and it just rolls right in and underneath back into the gutter area. Critical, because what happens is all that water coming off your roof and everything is going to hit the ground eventually, and if it's overflowing from your gutters, it's going to be hitting it hard. This is going to undermine the foundation around your house, and really tear up the ground in your yard, and you're going to really induce some problems.
Amazing.
The splash from that is going to go up and hit your siding, and that's going to ruin the siding.
Roger,
yeah.
We're running short in time here, so
okay.
I want to make sure. How can they get to ask you more questions?
They can send any email they wish to Knowing Your Home. Go to knowingyourhome.com, www.knowingyourhome.com. Go to the submit question. There's a whole box in there. Just whatever questions you have, go ahead and send them in. I'll be happy to get those back to you either on your show or as a direct email, and where they can go and what they can do to get good contractors, where to look for materials, what sort of things to look at.
Hey,
I'd be happy
Roger,
to
you're my Knowing Your Home guy. Thank you.
Happy to be here. Thanks for the call.
Take care now.
All righty.
Always the best information on Pop-Off, and we always want to make sure it's good information for you and your life. So we will be back with you tomorrow. I absolutely promise. I always want to make sure that promise, and I'll keep my promise at high noon right here on Pop-Off. And again, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and above all else, you have to dare to dream. We always dream on Pop-Off with the wonderful people that we have on to make your life just a little bit better. And it always will be better, because you know why? Because we think positive. We think Pop-Off, and by golly, we do.